Welcome to the BioBalance Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin, founder and medical director of BioBalance Health, located in St. Louis, Missouri. Today, Brett Newcomb and I will discuss hormone replacement controversies. And this is a different subject than we had planned to discuss because we have an article that came out in the New York Times and then was sent to all the press across the country that has the title Hormones After Menopause Called Risky. So Brett, can you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you need to, why I need you to give us your opinion on today's subject?
Well, you know, I think we both do similar things in terms of addressing this issue. I am a family therapist in private practice, and I have lots of people come to me to talk about issues in their relationships and their lives. And that's how we met, you and I, sort of covering the same population spectrum that had similar issues, and we got cross-connected. So in terms of the issue of hormone replacement therapy causing cancer, you and I have had some discussions in the past about this as a an issue that comes up in your conversations with your patients and my conversations with my clients, because in many ways it is a misnomer. It's a misuse of some terminology or an imprecise use of terminology. And you get pretty heated when you talk about this. So I thought we would perhaps spend some time today talking about this issue and why there is that confusion and why potentially you think there's the misuse, which might even be deliberate, of some of the terminology.
I've been an OBGYN for over 25 years, and now I do just postmenopausal and postandropausal replacement therapy. And I also participate in anti-aging medicine.
Okay, let me interrupt you because you're using a word that I'm not sure everybody's familiar with. Menopause, most people have heard that word and think they know what it means. Andropause, what does that word mean?
Andropause is the replacement of testosterone for both men and women when they run out, because we all run out of testosterone at some point, and it's integral to our health.
So it's similar conceptually to the menopausal stage in women. Men go through their own adaptive decline as a result of hormone changes in their body.
Yes, aging causes the decline of very essential hormones in women, estradiol and testosterone, and men, just testosterone.
So there are more than one hormone. There are a lot of different hormones that people take or make that do lots of different things. And in the news coverage of this issue, they use the generic term hormone, which is a misnomer.
It is. Hormones come from many glands all over the body. Generally, the hormone label is considered estrogen in the eyes of the press and in the eyes of the reader, because they've been told that's an equivalent. And hormones are of many different types from many different places in our bodies. And it overgeneralizes the label. But what really bothers me about these articles that come out and generalize hormones as and giving allegations that they cause cancer or you shouldn't take them and bring fear to my patients. I mean, that's really the job of the press, is to bring fear or emotion of some kind to people as they're informing them, just to get a good headline. And I understand that, yet it should be truthful information. And none of the things that they've given us in this present article, which states hormone therapy after menopause already known to increase the risk of breast cancer, also makes it more likely that the cancer will be advanced and deadly, researchers are reporting. Now, that whole front paragraph,
right,
is essentially wrong and overgeneralized.
Right. So in logic, we would call that an undistributed major term. You use a major term that flags somebody's attention, like hormones, and you say hormones cause cancer. It has to do with the way that we think and we construct syllogisms to use logic. Like all A's are B, all C's are B, therefore all A's are C's.
Which is
false.
You make
a logical statement.
But it's not necessarily true.
if you have an undistributed major term, it's false. That's one mm-hmm. of the tests of logic that you have. So in previous conversations, you have talked to me about, as a woman and as a medical professional, your frustration that so much of the historic medical research that's been done has drawn its conclusions regarding women from research that was done on men. Can you speak to that a little bit?
For many years, all research was just done on men because women were considered to be have the same physiology, which we don't. And
you don't? You're not made like us?
Yeah, we're quite different. And I think most people know that. But researchers didn't view us as different. And they also had the worry and the fear of liability from doing research studies on women because of pregnancy. And that's been going on up until the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Now we have studies that are aimed at us, which is nice, except used in an improper manner for the public, because most of the things that came out in the WHI study came out to the press, scared everybody. I had phone calls. I had people crying and screaming and upset that they were going to have to stop their hormones, estrogen, okay. meaning estrogen.
Yeah, because for a number of years, hormone replacement therapy was the gold standard in the treatment of postmenopausal issues and the treatment of aging concerns. And then this WHI study came out in 2002 and said, oh, hormones cause cancer. And everybody started running scared because there was an imprecise usage of the term hormone. And you have explained it to me repeatedly so that I can understand it. But perhaps you could explain to the people that are listening. What is the difference between estrogen and estradiol and testosterone and how those things are used?
Okay. First of all, hormones mean any hormone in the body, thyroid, adrenal, ovarian, testicular, all those are hormones. And then the subset of that hormone structure in our bodies that we're talking about are the sex hormones, which is estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone. Those are the three things our bodies make. Now, when we replace these hormones, we replace estradiol with all kinds of different estrogens. The type of estrogen you use matters. The way you take that estrogen matters. That changes risk. You can't just say, all estrogens cause this, because they're all quite different.
But that's a logical fallacy.
Right.
Go back to the syllogism.
So then progesterones, if you use a natural progesterone and you use it sublingually, that's quite safe. But in the study for WHI, the real problem was progestins, the arm of the study that actually showed an increase in breast cancer, had Premarin, which is estrogen or a type of estrogen from horses, and it's an oral pill, and Provera, which is a progestin. It's a chemically made, kind of looks like progesterone. So only that arm of the study increased the risk of breast cancer. Now, the arm of the study that was simply Premarin, which was just estrogen, did not increase the risk of anything. That part of the study was clean, and they continued that part of that arm of the study. They stopped the arm of the study that had Prem Pro in it.
Mm-hmm.
And today's article, where they're saying hormones are bad, that they cause cancer and they cause severe kinds of cancer, also uses this same misrepresentation that all hormones after menopause cause breast cancer, which is false because they did their study with Prem Pro as well.
Well, they also aren't making a distinction, or they're not identifying a distinction in terms of different delivery systems for the provision of hormone replacement therapy, and the different ways that we find replacement hormones, whether we make them chemically, whether we take something that occurs naturally in other organisms and then try to use it in our bodies, or whatever else might be done. You use something called bioidentical hormones. Can you talk a little bit about what those are?
Bioidentical hormones are made from plants. They are actually equivalent exactly chemically equivalent to what our body makes. But that's not the only reason they're safer. It's how you take them.
Okay,
also.
So we're talking about the delivery system.
The delivery system. So there's delivery systems for taking any drugs. You can take them orally. Most drugs are oral. Some drugs are transdermal, which in terms of estrogens is safer than oral.
Okay.
Remember all the studies with WHI, and this recent study was done with oral Premarin and Provera.
Yes.
So then that causes the hormone to go through the liver initially and make all kinds of degradation products like estrone and dihydrotestosterone and androstenedione. Those things aren't good for us. So when you take something orally, as a hormone orally, then it is broken down into these byproducts before it even hits your tissues or is used for the reason it was supposed to be used for. So if you go transdermal, it doesn't do that. You avoid that step, which is called the first pass effect.
Okay.
Then if you go the step that's even safer is subdermal, so which is what I do.
Transdermal would be like a salve or a cream that you
rub
on your skin.
Yeah, a cream or a patch.
And a patch. So you have oral, you have patch, and then you have what you use, which is?
I use bioidentical hormone pellets under the skin because that is the safest, most effective way to get a hormone.
So
because
is that subdural?
It's subdermal. So it's underneath your skin. It sits in the fat of women's hips.
Uh-huh.
And it dissolves slowly over 4 to 6 months, depending on their age and activity level. But that's a reservoir of the exact hormone their ovary made. And both hormones their ovary made, estradiol and testosterone. And they can pick that up when they need it. And it's much more physiologically like what they did before menopause. So in the ways, if you're looking for safety, estradiol is your safest. Bioidentical estradiol is the safest, and a non-oral route and pellets, because they are under the skin, are even safer.
Okay, help me, because medically I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think by analogies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that happens in my business is people sometimes have to take an antidepressant or what's called an SSRI, serotonin.
Mm-hmm. Reuptake inhibitor.
But one of the complications of taking that kind of medicine is getting the effective amount of the drug at the right location to be effective, which is inside the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take it as a pill, but the body interacts with it and starts to break it down so that it reduces the amount that actually arrives on site in a usable form. So it's really hard to get precise dosage, and there are side effects and concerns.
And it's variable because you take it orally. Some people
and so that's what I'm
are
hearing.
Absorb
it's
more
whole oral
than
delivery
others.
Issue.
But they
are incomparably. You've found a way to avoid those kinds of concerns by doing the subdermal delivery.
That's exactly right. Okay. I've avoided all of those dosage problems, getting too much during the morning and not getting enough in the evening.
Yeah.
It's a very steady stay.
It's a consistent delivery on demand, sort of, as your
right.
body requires it. All right, let me shift gears a minute, then, because a few minutes ago you said something about when we look at hormones or we do hormone replacement therapies, we're looking at, originally at or initially at sexual hormones.
Right.
But in our conversations off the air, you talk about other benefit or other concern issues that these hormones impact that have to do with the aging process, whether it's heart disease, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's, dementia. Can you speak to those concerns?
Well, that was my biggest concern for my patients when they all, because of an article that was then retracted. I don't know if you realize that, but the American College of OBGYN, the American College of Internal Medicine all retracted that study or their comment on that study and said, we don't back this study up because it did not represent the 25,000 studies that came before it. Okay. It wasn't consistent. It wasn't,
so,
it was actually
so
done.
25,000 to one and one
right.
wins.
That's one like wins
old,
because
old Abe Lincoln war cabinet joke. 16 members in the cabinet and 15 no's and one eye. The eyes have it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened here. And everybody just ran scared.
Because it was a headline. And they created fear in women, which, you know, I thought we were past that.
So at the end of the day, And people have waded through this conversation and try to get some clarity. At the end of the day, the takeaway for any patient, male or female, talking to their doctor is to ask two questions. When they are dealing with andropause, are they dealing with menopause, and the concerns around that occurring in their life, there are two questions that they need to ask. One is, what are the risks to me if I take hormone replacement treatments? Can you articulate those? Can you talk to me about those in terms of my unique personal experience? And then secondarily, ask, what are the risks to me if I don't take these treatments?
That's absolutely correct, because the risk, if you don't take estradiol, I'm not going to speak to progestins. I don't give progestins. I only give natural progesterone.
Okay.
So those risks are quite different than the progestins that they describe in PremPro. So let's just talk about estrogen. Estrogen is the hormone that keeps women from aging, just like testosterone keeps men from aging. And it's the one that if we replace it properly, we can decrease strokes. We can decrease heart disease. We decrease Alzheimer's and dementia. We can actually, there are multiple studies on Alzheimer's and dementia. And if a woman is replaced with estradiol during the first 10 years after menopause and she stays on it,
right,
then she can delay the onset of Alzheimer's 10 years. Okay. If she then adds testosterone to that in a non-oral form, she can delay it another 10 years. So most of us would be 20 Beyond. Years out. We're not getting Alzheimer's because we die first of something.
Okay, so but it's not estrogen, just about sex,
no,
and rediscovery of sex. It's also about good, healthy, long-term survival.
Right.
In functional ways. So let's pull it all together. In terms of hormone replacement concerns, be aware that the reportage is skewed, that they use labels generically without sub-distinctions or subcategory distinctions that really are clinically and scientifically significant, that doesn't get covered in the press, and that if you are thinking about it for yourself or a member of your family, you need to discuss the issue with your doctor. Don't just read what's in the press, be afraid, and avoid the conversation. And in the conversation with your doctor, ask, what are the risk-benefit ratios if I do take it and if I don't?
That's very true. And I want patients to ask their physicians both the benefit of taking something and not taking something. That's very integral to good care in any area. However, in the world of OBGYN, which is where most women go, and that's my training, most doctors aren't aware of the benefits of bioidentical hormone therapy because they haven't had time to do the research. They may not have even read the WHI study itself and realized that it was a poor study. It was poorly done. And the biggest question for me when I, as a clinician, is, does this study look like my patient population? Does this actually confirm what I've seen for years?
What you're saying is that your work has led you to focus on this issue and become an expert on this issue, and that if their doctors or they have questions and don't have the information, they should come to your website and come to your office and look at the research that you have posted.
That's absolutely correct. And okay. And just a little bit of just like one story that shows how powerful fear is and misinformation is that I have a patient who I've been taking care of since I started practice. So that's over 25 years. And she has gone through all the bioidentical hormones and she has come up with starting pellet therapy, and now she's finally treated and she's finally feeling better. And then she went to a pharmacist to get something else and talked about the pellets and how good she felt. And he countered with total misinformation. He said they cause cancer, they cause Alzheimer's, they cause all things that are totally opposite. She was so afraid, she called my office hysterically, because even though she knows me and she knows this is working and she knows she's healthier now than she was before, even before she was getting healthier and healthier as she used the bioidenticals, she knows that this isn't what happens, that she's gotten healthier herself, but she still believed this guy. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, the only thing I can do is give you research, and you know me, I'm not lying to you. This man's a stranger, but mm-hmm. Go look at my website. I have the research there. I have the references. Go look it up and see what my patients say, because I have interviews with my patients who talk about their therapy and how much better they feel and look after they get their hormones back. So just please do the research and so just don't believe the fear. She has an experiential
history with you and the treatment with you. And the research data that you have available that she can check that's not done by you, that's from done by reputable sources. Mm-hmm. She has that to compare with a fear statement from a stranger.
Right.
Excellent.
And so my answer to that is always go research it. If your doctor says, you don't need that, just suck it up, which I hear that right. from my patients who come to see me. They are very unhappy about their doctor saying things like that. You don't need it, you know.
Which is dismissive. Yeah.
And it doesn't really give them the attention they need for the problem they have. The physicians might make them feel crazy or make them angry because they're not listening. So if that's the case, you need another doctor. You need to come see me.
And so for those of you out there who are listening, call Dr. Maupin.
Next week, we'll discuss anthropology, the universality of sex, attraction, instinct, and the formation of family. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email us at podcast@biobalancehealth.com. And for more information, visit biobalancehealth.com on the web or call us at 314-993-0963. Thanks for listening.